top winter, top summer. Depends where you are. She'll be happy to hear your voices. At the moment, there's a heat wave here. It's going to take a while, but it's glary and sunny. If you have any question that you'd like to ask or to share, please feel free. Fernando, would you like to share something that you have read lately? There's a question maybe on your heart that you would like to ask. Please feel free. Also, Gladys, if you have something that you'd like to share or ask, feel free. So, we should start. Why the title is non-duality? It basically means not to. Because being in the matrix of space and time, we can always notice like polar aspects. Yes, it's cold or hot. It's night or day. Yeah. Winter, summer. Always two. So why non-duality? It means basically not to. Non-duality, it means not to. So this is regarding the weather or the fact that we might sense light or darkness, cold and warm. Yes, just to good evening, Yanis. The thing is that also we might see through ourselves different modes or behavior. Yes? So someone would say, I am angry or I feel angry and so on. Or I feel down. Good evening, Yanis. Or it me. But none of those sentiments or behavior or moods which are manifested in time and space is us. Is it clear? We tend always, there's an inner narration inside that always tells us who we are, that we are liking art, or we'd rather have those conditions or those surroundings, but this is not who we are. Sometimes we sit with ourselves and tell ourselves, oh, you behaved well, or somebody says a word and you're reacting and comes a self-critic. But none of those behaviors or what comes as sentiment or as a feeling is who we are, because all of those are manifested in time and space, which is basically the matrix. So, and people sit a lot with a self-critic. I should have done this, I should have behaved that way or that. There is no need to do it, because when it rises in us, we are not in charge. Is it understood? When joy appears or rises, joy appears or rises, also sadness can appear and rises. This is, none of these is in our control. Also, all kinds of moods and modes, which we tend to think that I created this mood, I created this mode. There's a heat wave at the moment. It is not pleasant to be outside. There's a lot of glare and you feel your head. And people think that they have a bad mood or they have a bad attitude. Because there's like danger when it's so hot. It just, you know, the brain sends signals. It's dangerous to be stay out or in the glare for long. So, but people translate it against themselves, like they have done something wrong or wrong steps or. But this is how it is. And none of those things, none of those conditions, whether it's cold, very cold or very warm, or all kinds of sentiments, it is, they are reflecting or, let's say, announcing who we are. No. A lot of suffering comes from identification with a doer, with a name, with heritage, with a self story, family story, whatever it carries inside, because it's not true. All what resonates suffering is not true. Questions? Yanis, Fernando, Jill, Cindy, Gladys, any question? There is a poem that was written in the late Middle Ages. It's about Abraham, how Nimrod, King Nimrod, already noticed in the stars that this baby is supposed to be born, and Nimrod did not like it because he noticed it's going to overshadow his kingdom because he was a very cruel king. And the poem, it's in Ladino, is Ladino is a language which is a combination between Latin and Hebrew. There are a few words, like there's a sentence, so you notice that it's Latin, but also there's like Hebrew words, pearl inside. This is why they call it Ladino, with D, not with T, because it's a combination. So this poem was written in Ladino, and it's it tells the story of Abraham. But it is very interesting because the poem, by being a poem or a song, it's very concise, and it manages to tell the truth, but in a very, very peculiar way that nobody expects, from which way or side the truth will arise or come. And King Nimrod was once in the field looking at the skies and the stars, and he noticed a special light. And Ladino says, the Ladino language says, that he saw the light of the Judaria. Judaria sounds like Jewish, they translate it as Jewish quarter, yes? But something very interesting in it, because when Abraham was supposed to be born, until the late Middle Ages, there are at least 3,000 years. And Judah is the grandson, yes, of Abraham. So how could, this is the question, how could King Nimrod notice that special light from which Abraham will be born? It has to do with Judaria, or the Jewish quarter. And I would like to open the word Judah and Jewish, and why it has to do with non-duality, and why there's so much buzz in the world against those names. So Judah, yes, he's the grandson, but we don't speak about the person. Yes, we don't speak about the person, but just the name. And this is quite interesting because the name is written with 5 letters. This name holds the name of being. Yes, the name of being, this Yod Hey Vav Hey. This is the name of being. You cannot pronounce it because once you pronounce it, it's becoming, it's not being. Yes, so we have the name, yes. This is Yehuda or Judah. This is 5 letters. But the name of being is there. So Nimrod, this is because I saw it in a song yesterday. Nimrod was noticing that a child will be born, that this child might have a tendency for being, not becoming. So it's not about Jewish or Judaria like the song says, but notice the child has a tendency of being, not becoming, and therefore he will try to kill him later, but this is not it. The being, why do I come to this now? The being is not becoming. The being is unconditional. The being is not two. When somebody says, I feel sad, yes? When someone says, I feel sad, or I feel happy, it seems, what does it imply? What does it imply? This simple sentence that people just throw from their arm, what does it mean? When somebody says, I'm happy, I'm glad, I'm sad, what is it, this structure? It regardless, you can replace it. Sad, happy, nervous, angry, floppy, sweaty, whatever. What kind of logic this sentence suggests or introduces to? Yes, Jill says something may be happening that causes this feeling. Yes, because the brain always suggests what does a procedure. Something causes another thing. This is causal thinking. But yes, very well, there might be a cause to this. But maybe before that, I am the one who feels happy, sad, tack, 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 tack. Do you understand? When somebody says, yes, I am happy, I am sad, I am sick, I am worried, I am nervous. All of those, you can replace those modes in any words, yes, that you like or choose. It implies of what? That there is a feeler. Not that there is background of nothing, a screen of nothing in which those appearances are happening, the appearances of sadness. Let's take sadness as like any color that you want, you can choose. So when someone says, I'm happy, sad, nervous, or angry, it implies that he has the ownership of happiness, sadness, yes, nervousness, tiredness. He owns it because he feels it, or it moves through him or her now, so they own it. He feels it. He's the owner of the feeling. There is immediately identification with the feeling, with the sense, and there's implies that there's a feeler, there's an owner of a feeling. And there's immediately like a dog situation, like the dog closes jaw on something, that I'm that. That what? I'm angry. Yes? Or something sad. And then comes afterwards the big clash. How can you be angry? How dare you be angry? What is non-duality? You're not angry. Anger rises in the system, but you're not angry. Angry appears or rises. So you're not angry, and you're not the one that claims that he is or she angry. Therefore, you don't need to ask yourself what caused this anger, or you don't need to sit hours, eat your nails, and how dare you be angry or show anger in front of others, because you were not angry, because anger rises, sadness rises, happiness rises on the background of what? Of nothing. Do you understand? There's a tendency always what? To identify ourselves with whatever happens. I am the one who's angry. I am the one who sweats. they all, this, how do you say, the North Hemisphere is just sweating. This is July. It's a pot. I mean, it's a pot, a cooking soupy pot of sweat, the earth sweat, people sweat. There's a lot of moist in the air, humidity. It's not that I am as a single, I don't know, someone who walks here. I'm the only one who sweats. Everything, this is sweating. It is sweating. There's even no one, someone to sweat. It is sweating. And people, I'm sweat. Oh no, shower. Okay, this is what everybody does. This is, you know, drink water, refreshment, washing, shampoo, whatever. But it's not against me. This is what it is. This is what it is. There is no singular persona. Yes, that feels like very cold. Yes, because now in the South Hemisphere, it's probably cold. It's winter. So everyone says, oh, I'm cold. No, it's cold. Yes, like we had this in February. Yes, it was unusual winter. Very dry, no rain, but temperature hit zero and minus with no rain for a long time. So people complain, I'm cold. No, just millions of people feel this unusual winter with no rain at all. Very dry winter, very, very cold. So people might share together the next morning, how cold was the night? Or still, but it's just cold for the tree, for the cat, for it's just cold. And people immediately, the brain, what the brain does, picks it up and say, "I'm the only one who is shivering from this absolutely cold winter, or I'm just the only one who sweats here in this boiling summer, or I'm the only one who experienced sadness or." Anger, there are all kinds of feelings and sentiment at the moment. This is what comes, yes? But there is no need to identify, because what the brain does, it's like a magnet. It has this is built in. It just attaches itself to everything which is happening and tell you this is your business. Yes, because you did something, it's like this. And immediately people with the climate, like chasing people, there are people who try to chase the climate. Yes, because you do this and that, it just, of course not. This is a linear thinking. Yes? Question or sharing that you would like to share at the moment? There's a beautiful verse in the Bible which speaks about Nimrod. And what does Nimrod like as a king who governs and makes people afraid? He comes before being. Nimrod is defined as Gibor Tzaid. Gibor Tzaid. Hunter, like brave hunter. Lifnei, before Hashem or being. Yes, he's a great hunter before being. Let's say the hunter is before being. So Rashi says that he was like hunting people's brain, make them afraid from him, preventing from them the notion of being. Do you understand? To pull a show and act of a great hunter, strong man, tyrant, like tyranny exists as an absolute truth, and by pulling such an act to deny being. Yes? To deny being. So, he is a master of duality because he is a hunter. He hunts not just animals, he also hunts people. So, while saying there's a hunter, what happens? There's a hunter and then there's another object which is being hunted. So this is the art of Nimrod. And he looks already for the unborn, unborn prey. Yes? Yes. He wants to kill every being before he's born. Interesting is that the Midrash, the Lord says, that the day Esau, yes, came tired from the field and Jacob offered him the stew, yes, it was the day that he was tired. Because he came from killing Nimrod. So who killed Nimrod? Esau. Therefore he was very tired coming from the field. And at this day, when Jacob cooked his twin brother the stew, the lentil stew, it was the day that Abraham died. Yes, please pay attention how the lore works. Again, the day that Esau came very tired from the field, it was the day Esau killed Nimrod. To kill Nimrod was very, very tiresome job. For Esau, he returns, and Jacob already cooks the lentil. Rashi says why he was cooking the lentils too. Because at this day that Esau killed Nimrod, Abraham, the grandfather, died, and a lentil soup or a lentil stew is a food that usually people make when somebody passes away, to show that everything is like circle, like the shape of the lentil, which is round. So what is hiding behind this lore? That at the same day, please pay attention to those poles. It means none too. At the same day, Nimrod died, King Nimrod, and at the same, he was killed. And at the same day, Abraham just passed away. Yes? Do you see what is behind the lore, or what the lore tries to tell us? So many things in one lore. There's no hunter and there's no the one who is being looked for. Both of them are passing. One of them is being killed. Another one is just passing. It means not to. Questions? Sharing, Cindy, Jill, Fernando, Yanis, Gladys, any question, any sharing, you shall be happy. Did you have a time to listen to one of Ramesh's conversations or read one of those books recommended, listen to Paul? Did you have the time? Did you happen to read something, Jill? Yes? What about? You can unmute and speak if it's possible.
Hello.
Hello, how do you do?
I'm good. Hello, everybody. I was just listening to the piece that you had posted. Just listening to his conversation that he was having with the lady who had came to sit and talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just found it interesting. I guess when he was talking about how we think that we're like there's nothing that we do, and how we can't even really say that we're responsible for some things. So some of it, you know, is things that I'll have to listen to a bit more, but I found some of the statements were pretty interesting.
How did you feel when you heard it that we're not responsible for?
Whenever I hear that, then I always feel like a sense of freedom. Like there's a load that's lifted off, because it just reminds me that all the stuff that we are taught, we do carry a lot of that stuff with us a lot. And so it's always a feeling of a level of freedom when I hear it.
Thank you for sharing, because this is also the truth, because we are not responsible. We did not create ourselves or the circumstances in which we'll be born. Yes, we were told that we are born, yes, but we did not term any of those conditions. All the calculations in which we, so to speak, the bodies appearing here in space and time, and the relation between things, we did not. So we cannot carry any responsibility. It's just, it is, let's put it like that, it is impossible for us to be responsible for anything. Again, it is impossible for us to be responsible for anything. We don't make the sun rise. The sun, by the way, does not rise or set, but to the eyes of the beholder. We're not in charge for the gravity, for the earth turning on its axis in certain degrees, about clouds. We don't have responsibilities at all. We are not capable of thinking unless something is moving in the system, is being shown to us as a thought. Or sometimes there's an action which is accompany the thought, but we are not in charge of what is happening, what is appearing in the screen of this emptiness. Whether a thought would come, a sentiment, impression, we are not in charge. We are not to hold responsible for impressions which are appearing in this background of nothingness. So of course, what happens if we hear it first, second, third time, there's a lot of pressure is being pulled from us, because the pressure of being responsible to facts, to events, to people is just being removed or taken away. And this is the truth. Because the greatest burden is to carry a story which is not true. And we are carrying those stories. Just Fernando told us 2 days ago, it's very interesting. This is experience that for life is this great teaching. What happens? Some And it happens to all of us in this way or another, yes? That we are taught that this is the story and we are carrying certain heritage or certain storyline or whatever, and it's not true. Because we are not in charge of our breathing, if we shall breathe the next moment and how we shall walk or move or what kind of impression we shall get from the surrounding or any kind of text that will operate, nobody knows. So we cannot, none of us can being held as responsible to whatsoever. Yes, Cindy. Good morning, Cindy. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How do you do today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good to be here.
Yes, I agree. It's interesting you bring up responsibility because that word has really been in my mind, particularly listening to one of Paul Hederman's talks where he was talking about his alcoholism and then going through the 12 steps, but particularly on the 9th step, which is the one of making amends. And he explained it like it was just a bridge through which he was able to let go of some of the things that were so burdensome to his heart, to his life. And one of them that he spoke of was that his mother had asked him for money at a certain point, and he had denied her request and not given her money, but he did in fact have the money to give her. And I was thinking about responsibility, and I was thinking, you know, just even in that word, response, is that's an action, has to have an action or something happen first for anything to even have a response. And it's really, I think the right word more so would be ownership. He began to own the shame or the guilt or whatever that he had, or maybe lying to her or whatever. But just, there's so much in that story. Just, she asked him for money because he was, quote unquote, her son, and he felt shame and guilt because she was, quote unquote, his mother. And there's so much, I think, just stress and anxiety from attachments, but also just attachments to stories, like you're saying, and ways of thinking incorrectly, because we don't have responsibility. I mean, how could we? We would need to have made ourselves and made all of our details and be able to, make ourselves go and this and that. And we can't. We don't know where we came from, or at least I don't. We don't know how it happened, how it happens, not really. So I think our only option is to really own things, and we don't own anything either. That's the fruit, the tree of knowledge, that owning, and just, those things have kind of been in my mind.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
There's a lot of heaviness that comes when in the language, it's like this, it's embedded in the language when people say my school, my library, and so not mentioning if people say my friend or my any family relative, it charges the field so much with unnecessary burden. It's also, in a way, creates a field of distortion of reality. Because whenever we say mine, and it doesn't matter if it's the library or it's the school or it's someone, yes, it just, everything is being gravitated like a black hole around this mine, and everything is just stream inside to this black hole, and this gravity, we are carrying it, so to speak, on our back or in the mind. It's just a field of distortion. Because it's not just mine, it also implies that we are separated entities, and even this weird idea that we can have something. If we are nothing, how can we have anything? Because inside there's only empty screen. Yes? It's just emptiness. So if you put inside like a thought of I did a really great mistake in the past and I'm too accused, so if there's emptiness inside, so if you choose to host all kinds of weird scenarios about yourselves and the responsibilities you have for others, situation, events, wars, God knows what, this empty, it's just empty. Emptiness have no impression. There's a trash can. It's empty. If you put inside a unread letter or a banana peel or, I don't know what, a pencil, it's just empty. Just put inside whatever there is. It's just hosting it, yes? So why to walk with our thoughts that if we can be even held responsible for it, how can we if we are nothing? Today I was reading a beautiful, I think it's... art magazine called Apollo. I thought to share it with you because I still have to find the right wire here, wires to connect it, that all of us will be able to see the same picture because it is being on a special screen that I would like to do this with us. So it was, it's a picture that was taken in museum in Egypt and next to the pyramid. So their museum, it's a closed museum, it's a building, it has air conditioned, the windows are turning towards the pyramids, and inside there is a sculpture of one of the pharaohs. They used to have a dynasty of pharaohs for, I don't know, 3,000 years or so. And somebody, I mean, the photographer took a picture of this pharaonic king from a perspective that he could get the whole pharaoh. It says it's 11 meters high, but it feels much, much higher than 11 meters. It's more than three. It's like five, six, seven floors of a building. And at the feet of the pharaoh, you could see in the side human dimension. Yes? It's like a building of, I don't know how many floors. This is the statue of Pharaoh. And a human is like an ant. Like regular people that visit this museum, you can see the relations between the humans and this statue of Pharaoh. And of course, that if you see, if you put this statue in front of people and they see this huge image, so immediately they have the fear from the bigger animal in the room of the bigger statue. Yes, but Egypt is this this culture that they understood that they everything can be manifested, is to be seen, to be measured, and then, yes, until today you see something on a screen and you believe that you go to a concert and immediately it's not enough that you go and there's a stage. This stage is also hosted with a lot of lights, a light show or so. And also there's a screen in front and those who are playing or singing are also being exhibits on a great screen from both sides of the stage. If it's in a, how do you say, it's an open space or field, or a stadium, so you see and you believe that it is something, but it's not. It's just nothing. And the bigger exhibition that you see of non-existing thing, the more the imagination goes and says it's a real thing, and they all kinds of thoughts are brushing through people's minds. But none of this is real. And just another a comment by a psychiatrist. Because what is happening, this the war with Iran and ballistic missiles, and this is the hardest war that Israel ever knew in the modern times. So it's one, why it's so hard? It's one step before atom bomb is used. Those ballistics missile is one step. This is, there are all kinds of weapons that people can use. What the Iranian use this time is one step. Also, the Russians are using those missiles against Ukraine. This is one step before using atom bomb. This is why it's so hard. 40% of the children in Israel have post-traumatic something. But here's the comment of the psychiatrist who was sitting here. He says that after he experienced this, and after he was seeing how much harm is being done, and buildings are suddenly are not buildings, just piles of ruins, he also had a trauma. He doesn't say. He just say whenever he looks at a building, I mean complete building, standing building, he doesn't see the building. He just see ruins. Meaning he doesn't see the building as existing after this war. He just, whenever he cannot work as a psychiatrist anymore, by the way. Whenever he looks at the building, standing building, complete, doesn't matter, pictures or real here in the neighborhood or wherever he lives, he just see non-existing thing, non-building or piles of ruins. But this is what it is. So he's shocked, or he cannot repair people in sessions anymore because he can't pull. And this is the greatest thing, that something like this can happen, because he see the real from the non-real. People look at a building, or they look at men as existing thing, or a cow or whatever, but it's not. It's just appearing. In the same manner, it can disappear. Man can disappear. When there's no breath, it can disappear. The building hit by ballistics, there is no building. So what you see is only air. Like this school. This, you used to have a school a few streets away. People moved on, left the neighborhoods. There was school. Nobody attended school. The municipality decided to evacuate, to take it. One day they pull few tractors or those demolishing tools that they use, and tack tack here and there, tick tack, and there is no school. There's only gardens with trees, with eucalyptus, and that whenever you move along the street, you feel the breeze, because there's no building that blocks the air. So there's only air which is moving through the emptiness and skies and eucalyptus. So, and people could say before, but of course it's some strong, it's a school, it's a building. But not. But not. We also prepared to be that, we also prepared for this moment that we get a direct hit. So we prepared paper in case if we shall survive this, yes. And so you, this is also was one of the calculations, that it might take the space of living if we shall survive this, yes? Those papers, we shall find maybe a way out. So not clear. So what we take as a concrete, as reality, in a split of a second, it's not. Why is it so heavy? Because we experience wars, and also the last 2 years, it just war. Why is it so dramatic? I told Andra today, this is the last step before using atom bomb. This is why Israel also initiate this action. To when once you start, once you initiate, you have the advantage of the surprise, you surprise the other side. So this is one step before using atom bomb to flatten civilizations for decades. And this is what they're working all the time. All the time, days and night, working. Also now in Syria, you think that they stop? No, they continue to slaughter people and they continue to build. Yes. And they don't want to go to the table to sit and to negotiate because they're so arrogant. And this is how do you say, ignorant people behave. They never admit defeat. So they're not even willing to sit on the table to negotiate because they declare themselves as winning, whatever. It doesn't matter. But why was it so hard this time? Because this is the last drop before using atom. And people sitting all over the world with their, how do you say, with those telephones or looking at all kinds of videos, TikTok, whatever, it's looking, you know. But this is also is happening. And in split of a second, there is no civilization. Millions are wiped. Israel is not because of Israel. It's just little, the dimensions of Israel is like an island. And one, you know, you don't need one bomb and this is it. There is no civilization here. And not just here. It has, how do you say, effect. So also this, why do we come to this responsibility? We are not held responsible for anything. It is coming from the source, and this is, Ramesh has a beautiful conversation about atom bomb, because in his times they used this only over Japan in 1945. But he says it also comes from the source that human will have an access to such a weapon. It comes also from the source. Those are not two different things. But we are not held responsible. And this is the great thing. After you go through such a, let's say, experience and you come out alive at the other end, you notice that nobody has a clue. Nobody held responsible. And also nothing has a meaning. It's very, very enriching experience. It just, in a way, relieve you from the burden of history, from the burden of carrying any kind of story, because we're just nothing. Just once Fernando calling us, it's amazing. I think Fernando was calling Thursday. We just canceled the lessons in the morning because we felt it's too intense. And Fernando managed to call through Discord in the ballistic attack. And we spoke to him. Andrew spoke to him as well. And once we spoke to him, it just, the conversation itself was such a great space, because at the moment of the conversation, suddenly the surrounding of ballistics missiles falling like rain in front of us did not have any effect or existence. There was just sharing the space with Fernando, and it was a great present that you can give someone such a conversation. What, I don't know, it was amazing. What a relief, Fernando. Very, very relieving. We shall never forget it. Never, 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 never. Yes, a conversation. Yes, yes. And I remember asking you, do you hear the falling of the ballistics? Because they fell very, very close. Very, very close. And in a way, the space of conversation was like a womb that nothing can get inside. It was amazing, 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 amazing. Yes, those conversations are very powerful, very powerful. So, dear friends, thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you for sharing, asking, answering, inhaling the same air. Thank you so much. And from now on, yes, we shall hold also host another conversation on Wednesday. Yes. And I would like to thank each and every one of you, Jill, Yanis, Cindy, Fernando, Gladys, and friends. There's also a friend from Canada, Sunshine. She popped a few moments before. So I would like to thank each and every one of you for your great gift. It's just a great gift. Thank you for being here, and see you here tomorrow at the same time. Have a beautiful life. We love you all. Thank you. Toda and shalom.